I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Biden now says, finally, that he wants to secure the border. And he says he's working with us on drafting a bill to change the law. I'm not sure we need to change the law. I think President Biden can do it on his own by executive order. But we're willing to change the law. And he says he wants to. But he keeps fighting us every step of the way. And I believe now more than ever that... two things that President Biden and many of my Democratic colleagues believe in open borders. And number two, I think it's time for the American people to wake up and smell the incompetence. If the White House, how can I put this? If the White House were a football team and performed like this, we would have already fired the coach, the athletic director, and the mascot. And it just keeps, Americans want better and it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it's not getting any better. Those are the words of Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. We want better, but it's not getting better. I know. If you get inside the spin cycle machine of the Democrats, we're doing great. We're doing great. Every polling number shows you're not. You know, they used to reward, I think maybe they still do on one of the papers or publications, Pinocchios. It's a three Pinocchio. It's four Pinocchio. A Pinocchio referring to the character Pinocchio and the nose getting longer. These guys are way, way past the nose getting longer. But they either really believe it, do they? Or they think they can are so smooth and savvy. And you're such an ignorant fool that they could push this past you constantly. Using Senator Kennedy's analogy about a football team, they could give us the full playbook of what they're going to do, and we wouldn't understand it and buy into it. Wouldn't know how to defend against it. Too many Americans are thinking for themselves now. That includes minority Americans. Many Americans do not have as much education as others for various reasons, either by choice and or sometimes circumstances. And, of course, we have Democrats now who want to have 16-year-olds vote. 16-year-olds. And, of course, we've heard the argument in the past that if you're old enough to go in the Army, 18, military, then you should be able to drink. I know that argument. When I was that age, yeah, I was all about it. But there are certain things you recognize in life that do come with maturity. And in fact, often, two things. One, the young begin to realize it wouldn't work the way I had envisioned it would. And the other big thing they realize, and I'm one of them, once I went off to college or I kind of began my own life, I realized my parents got a lot smarter when I was gone. No, they didn't get smarter. You just finally absorbed what they've been saying all that time. And I would imagine many of you listening have been in that same situation. All right, let me set the stage for you again. Here we are. This is January 23rd, the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming live video for you from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're streaming the video at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, no YouTube. But if you go to News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube, you can see us there. I really don't care which one you go to. We're just glad to have you watching. I understand more and more are doing. I can see by the numbers they're spreading the word, and some continue to say, well, it's like watching you on TV again. Well, I appreciate that. And, of course, if you didn't like me on TV then, you're not going to like me now. Or maybe more of you will, because you begin to see that my opinions aren't that far from you. I was not part of the so-called leftist conspiracy media. I don't know how many years I would tell folks that actually we are not smart enough in the media to conspire to do anything. So it was never controlled by any group, and I was never told what I had to say or couldn't say on a story. I knew my own limits of what should be done. And yes, there would be newsroom discussions, arguments, flat-out yelling matches sometimes about what goes in the newscast or not and how it's treated. But it was actually a push for journalism, not political agenda and view. Reminds me quickly of a story of a young journalist sent off to cover a story about the mayor's going to make a speech. And they got in their head, I'm going to get that speech, come back, and so is asked, what did the mayor have to say? He didn't. He said, what? You know, there's no story. Well, he's going to do a speech. He didn't make a speech. Why? Oh, somebody shot him. So we have no story. That kind of idiocy is what exists now in our state-controlled media. So as you know, yesterday we had the Supreme Court make a ruling on the razor wire that Texas was using to try to secure the Texas border because, yes, it is the federal government's responsibility, but they're not doing it. They refuse to do it. And, of course, they wanted the buoys that Texas had put in the Rio Grande taken out. Well, that was, again, waters not controlled by Texas. The border should be controlled by Texas. But when it comes to actual immigration and that kind of border protection, well, then it's supposed to fall to the feds. But they're not doing their job. So the Supreme Court ruling 5-4, Border Patrol agents are allowed to remove the razor wire installed by Texas. So the invasion continues. There are pictures of a forklift raising some of the razor wire high enough so illegals can get in between the forklift and the wire. It's a full-scale invasion. And some are families. Many have been single-age military men from various countries. And you can't say they're not carrying weapons because they're really seldom, if ever, searched. You don't know if their plot is to come into the country and cause the destruction of our country from inside because we have no background on them. There is no real vetting. And as I told you yesterday, if these illegals get to Tucson International Airport, they'll be given a printed slip in a separate line, and they'll be given a ticket, an airplane ticket, to wherever they want to go, and TSA doesn't even bother checking them for weapons before they get on the plane. Say it ain't so, Larry. No, I could say it, but it is so. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas obviously had his reaction to the SCOTUS ruling, no razor wire.
This decision makes me angry, and even more angry is listening to Joe Biden just flat out lie. And he knows he's lying, although actually, given his mental condition, maybe he doesn't know he's lying. But anyone rational that was aware of the world around him would know that he was lying. He says the border hadn't been secure for 10 years and just give me the money. Well, you know what? When Joe Biden became president 3 years ago, he inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. We had made incredible progress securing the border, and Joe Biden deliberately, systematically dismantled it. And if you look at the numbers, we went from the lowest rate in 45 years to right now today, the highest rate of illegal immigration in history ever. 9.6 million illegal immigrants have come in under Joe Biden.
That is what we know. 9.6 million. doesn't count the getaways, doesn't count the ones that come across in the dark of night. And there is a report from the Biden administration itself. According to the Customs Border Office, they are admitting, Congressional Budget Office, they are acknowledging they've let in 6.2 million. That Biden's southern inflow, based on those numbers, is more than one migrant for every two Americans born since January 2021. The report titled The Demographic Outlook 2014 to 2054. Some of you don't need to worry about 2054. Others do. 40 years down the road, or from this date, a closer range of that, 21 years. But it says more of those people are also being released in the U.S. than previously, generally through the use of parole authority or with a notice to appear before an immigration judge. Yeah, they're handing those out. Come back in 6 years, we'll have a hearing for you. Good luck with that. The 2023 inflow, according again to the Congressional Budget Office, which acts as an advisor to the Capitol Hill legislators, the inflow includes 900,000 migrants released after they walked up to the official border gates, plus another 1.1 million released after they crossed through gaps in the wall. And roughly half of those migrants were led in the country by October 1, 2023, using Biden's parole loophole in the border law. And you know what the Democrats want to do now? They want to expand the loophole. I'm going to say it again. For the leftists who are all about this, why don't you leave your front door open, your garage open, and let anybody come in and out of your house as they choose? Take whatever they need or want. Because that's what you're doing to our country. Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
The laws have not changed from the time Trump was president to the time Biden became president. What changed was the way the law was applied and executed. The same laws, Trump had the same laws as Biden, but Trump did not allow people and discourage people from coming. And we detained people and we deported people and we forced people to remain in Mexico. Biden, on day one, said, I'm getting rid of all the Trump policies. In essence, they're not following the laws that exist now. They're not using their enforcement tools now. So what leads us to believe that no matter what law you pass, they're actually going to do any of the things you agree to? All these things do is it allows an administration to do something, but it doesn't mean they're going to do it. So if they're willing to go to the Supreme Court to fight against border security, what makes you think they're going to adhere by any legislative deal that's done on border security? They're going to take the legislation and say, well, yes, that's an option, but not pursue it because they're not interested in border security.
No, they're not interested in any border security. But again, they have their own security details around their houses. They have locks and alarms on their homes. Again, if they want to prove to me they believe sincerely that all illegals should be allowed into the country because of whatever reason they want to be here, unlock your front door. Just take the door off the hinges. Leave the garage open all the time. That would never happen. And Biden was caught on audio the other day saying that, well, we've had this problem for a long time, but you know, it's not just my making. And I would play the audio, but it's so noisy, you can't really make it out, and he's mumbling as usual. You'd have to have writing appear as he's stating it. But again, Texas Senator Cruz said, Biden has an entirely different objective than you.
9.6 million illegal immigrants have come in under Joe Biden. And here's the thing to understand. He's not unhappy about that. He doesn't want to solve it. He doesn't want to prevent it. He wants more. It was a deliberate decision. And when he asked for more money, it's not more money to build a wall. It's not more money to secure the border. He wants more money to process illegal immigrants faster, to move even more of them into every city in America. He wants to take that 9.6 million and make it 20 million, make it 30 million, make it 40 million. It is an invasion, and Texas is bearing the brunt, but every community in America is paying the price.
Oh, and VP Harris, the so-called border czar, was being asked on CNN and NN, what does she think should be done about the border? And since she's so knowledgeable, she's flown over it a couple of times and went down to El Paso to see a sanitized area, but not really in the midst of everything. She's pushing again the same Biden agenda when she was saying, we have solutions at hand, but the other side of the aisle are playing politics. They are playing politics? She continued, gone are the days, sadly, where President Bush or John McCain understood that we should have a bipartisan approach to fixing this problem, which is a long-standing problem. The host asking, what are the solutions? Her answer immediately, putting resources at the border to do what we can to process people effectively and putting in place laws that will actually allow for a meaningful pathway to citizenship. Nothing said there about closing the border. Nothing. Immigration is going to be a big issue. It was a big issue in Iowa the other day, and, of course, now in New Hampshire. It's a big issue for New Hampshire voters. Now, what is the New Hampshire voting going to mean when it's all counted up? What is it going to mean to Trump, Haley, and Biden?
The people behind Nikki are pro-amnesty. You like that? Pro-China, pro-open borders, pro-war, pro-deep state, and they're pro-Biden. Did you see where 50% of the people that voted for her in Iowa are going to vote for Biden? In other words, the Democrats, they're voting. They're voting. Think of it. They're going to vote for Biden. They just had no choice, so they picked her. This is not what we want.
I've watched the entire political elite yesterday and today. I've watched the entire media elite yesterday and today say that I should drop out for the good of the country to support Donald Trump.
Well, that's not likely to happen, Nikki Haley. It's still not sure, of course, where she's going to end up running, regardless of what happens with New Hampshire, because the next stop is South Carolina, the one the Democrats originally wanted to be the first primary. That's why Biden's not on the ticket in New Hampshire. There is a write-in campaign trying to put him there. That's not going to really go anywhere. But let's forget numbers, projections, and everything else about New Hampshire and what it means going forward. The next stop, Nikki Haley will not likely campaign in South Carolina if she decides to stay in the race. Now, we've had this trash-talking back and forth between DeSantis and Trump, Ted Cruz and Trump, Rubio and Trump. Senator Scott didn't get quite that nasty with Trump, but still, they're in there. Vivek Ramaswamy has praised him and then also gone against him. That's all trash talk. It gets down to the final count of votes. What are we going to do with the votes? How do we get them? How do we put them together? All right, coming up, there's a transgender golfer who's setting records and winning things, and quotes that are apparently being made by John Daly as to being transgender phobic, or did he? And a book coming out that suggests who Biden really wanted to have as vice president. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A new book shedding light on their relationship or lack thereof. Quote, President Biden knows full well Vice President Kamala Harris is not up to the job of commander in chief. And he preferred Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer as his running mate in 2020 before caving to public pressure. Harris was also not the choice of Biden's wife, Jill, who favored former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice for the role and had fumed to close supporters.
It's very difficult for Kamala. She's had a rough 3 years, and now the president and his team kind of view her as an amateur. When they first won the presidency, you know, Biden vowed that she and him would be true partners. But as they found her wanting, as she's sort of protested some of her assignments, there's more and more distance between the two of them. But at this point, he can't get rid of her because it was a very political decision for him to choose Kamala, and he can't get rid of her without anger.
Can't get rid of her. Could he send her a bouquet of roses, and maybe a ticket to Cafe Napoli? Say, go enjoy a meal on me while we switch you out of the ticket? Would that work? Well, she'd get a great meal at Napoli, one of my sponsors, obviously. But she might have complaints, not so much about the food, but the fact that she was sent there by Biden while he's trying to pull a switch behind her back. Neither one of them have great marks and support inside their own party. And the biggest fear for many, and not just in the Democrat Party, if something happens to Joe while he's in office, you know that who would be the next president automatically, at least to finish the term. We have some months yet to go, and I always pray for our president's health, and I certainly do now, not just because who's standing in the wings. That was Fox revealing and reporting on this new book that is out titled Amateur Hour at the White House. And then near the end, you were listening to a part of an interview with Charlie Spearing, the author of it. Now, I want to go back over some of the things because it just kind of comes at you. You're not sure. What is this? Well, Again, the New York Post did a breakout of it and said the headline for the New York Post is, Biden knows VP Harris, quote, not up to the job. Preferred Gretchen Whitmer as a 20 running mate. And then they cite book as a source. They don't name it at that point, but they do later. But the beginning of the article from the New York Post is, President Biden knows full well Vice President Kamala Harris is not up to the job of Commander-in-Chief. And he goes on to say he preferred Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer as his running mate in 2029 before he had to cave into public pressure. That would be to put a black woman on the ticket. Gretchen Whitmer, for all of her accolades and I use the term loosely, of being all about total lockdown for COVID, had stay in your house in Michigan. I know we have a lot of Michigan listeners up there. I hear from them from time to time. So we weren't allowed to travel anywhere, and yet her husband was allowed to travel to their lake home during COVID. And Whitmer was in and out of places, just like, pardon me, Nancy Pelosi was, Gavin Newsom. See, they have their version of what you need to do about COVID and their version of what you need to do about COVID and everything else. But the one thing Whitmer is not is black. And Biden had already indicated he would select a black woman and, in fact, had been told by members of the Black Congressional Caucus and others, if you don't select a black woman as your VP, you will not get our vote. So even if he thought Whitmer would be better, and she would have been, and she would have been a more formidable opponent for Republicans if she were on the ticket now and the ticket underway, it would have been more difficult for Republicans and Democrats to walk away and support Trump. And the article continues, again, as quoting from the book, Harris was also not the choice of Biden's wife, Jill. So Jill kind of got shut out of the conversation. She preferred former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice, who is black. Jill preferred former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice for that role and had fumed to close supporters. Joe's not listening to me. I'm going to withhold his pablum tonight. I don't know if she made that threat, but either way, she realized he's making the choice under pressure, and she thought her word would carry the weight of the day. It didn't. She dawdled along after him, continues to do so. Now, one of those taking a look at this book and breaking it down as to what it meant, well, you were hearing in part from the author, Charlie Sparing, Kaylee McGee White. She is the Restoring America editor. And here's her take on Kamala and what happens next.
Kamala Harris she's a unique liability to the Biden campaign. And I would go one step further and say that the reason that Biden can't drop her now is not just because it would be admitting a mistake in the first place, but it's because it would be a serious blow to the DEI campaign that he ran in the first place. It was no secret that Biden chose Kamala Harris because she was a black woman. So if he drops her now, how do you avoid admitting that he's dropping her because she's ineffective? It's a real corner that he's backed himself herself into, and really they have no one to blame but themselves.
The book also describes what some in the White House perceive as Harris's struggles and mistakes. Among them, bullying staff, not being a team player, an artificial public presence, and annoying others with her infamous cackle and constant word salads. I mean, look, Kaylee, we've known a lot of that for some time, but why is this book coming out now? Do you think it ultimately is to try and convince Kamala to quit?
Sure, and I think there's definitely pressure from some in the Democratic establishment for Biden to push her out as well. It would definitely help his reelection chances.
It would help his reelection chances, but I'm not even sure that it would be enough to make a difference. What do you think? And then again, Kaylee McGee White, Restoring America editor, said Harris is and has been a fail.
I think that, you know, Harris's belittling of her staff members, the way that she treated others in the White House, it shows that she really did think that she was going to be handed the keys to the kingdom. You know, Biden himself vowed to only be a one-term president back in 2020. Now, maybe he never intended for that to be the case, or maybe when he got on the job, he realized that Kamala Harris would not be well-suited to take over the role. Who knows? But either way, it is clear that she assumed that he would be a one-term president. Now, obviously, her aspirations are never going to come to light because of how poorly she has performed in office. But I do think that that's a part of the situation here.
And it may well be in the sense that, well, I thought I was going to be next one in line and you were only going to be one term. You screwed me over. In so many words, she's saying. So the book again is titled Amateur Hour at the White House. I think that would pretty well sum up everything we've seen with the Biden administration. I'm looking at a piece at CNN doing earlier today, talking about the New Hampshire voting, and not only the New Hampshire case, but what's happening inside the Republican Party regarding Trump. The CNN reporter is almost in shock. She begins by saying the Republican Party looks to be coalescing around Trump once again in the final days. You can almost hear the shock in her voice in that sense. And she added that, including the primary, the former president getting a slew of endorsements, including those from members of his own party who once criticized him. What we might see from our president is clarity and moral authority, and that moral authority is compromise. If you want four more years of Donald Trump, let me hear you scream. That was Tim Scott making that remark. And even Chuck Todd weighed in and said, I just don't think it's important that they do this and not good for them because you're judged by the company you keep. They are Trump haters to the first class. Let me give you a preview of who we're going to have tomorrow discussing the New Hampshire primary finals and what goes on next. Some of you, including one of our hosts here at the station, Speaker Tim, is going to go ballistic. Yes, because Tim, I'm bringing back John Laboutiere, former New York congressman, wrote the book Hobbit Hates America. He is a never Trumper. So Speaker Tim Jones, John Laboutiere is going to be on my program tomorrow. Now, you can trash him if you want before you come to me. Chris Arps and Tim Jones have their program on ahead of us. Very good, engaging, deep into politics in many ways. But Tim has made it clear, I don't like John Laboutiere. I said, I know, but I do because you don't. Always picking on Tim. He's a good-natured guy in so many ways. But he and Chris put on an excellent program. Make sure you catch that if you can before you catch mine. Coming up, did John Daly make a transphobic remark or did somebody try to create trouble where there wasn't? And then Fannie Willis and her love affair.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, the other day, we had the Supreme Court make the ruling 5-4 yesterday that Texas has to take down the razor wire, that they're not allowed to enforce their own border. That is the duty of the federal government, which it is. But when the federal government is not protecting a state from invasion, are you not allowed to protect your own state? I say yes, but the ruling was 5-4, the deciding vote, you could say, was Judge Amy Coney Barrett, appointed by Trump. But keep in mind, for all those who hated her simply because she was a mother and she was anti-abortion, now maybe they find reason to like her, but she's doing it based on constitutional law. And that is that the Constitution says the federal government is responsible for enforcing immigration law and protecting our borders. Clearly it is. But when they're not doing so, that's the issue. And I would be willing to bet that if she were to speak about it, Judge Barrett would admit she didn't like making that decision, but she thought, being constitutionalist, that's what it should be. So now they've been lifting the razor wire so illegals can get in under the line. They've also been in the process of cutting it up in pieces. I raised a question earlier. I said, you know, a lot of land along South Texas is obviously private land. The border, and that actually controlled by the federal government, which it would be, quote, federal land in that case, easements and so forth. Okay, don't put the razor wire there. But the farmers along there could put up razor wire all across the back end of their properties. Anybody coming that would have to go some other direction. And if it's all on private property, can that be stopped? Without being a lawyer, or even playing one, or even staying at a Hotel 6 last night, I can tell you, no, it can't. But they would try. Congressman Chip Roy is calling on Texas to simply ignore the Supreme Court ruling. He said, the government has a duty under the Constitution and every other norm of leadership of any sovereign state to protect your citizens, period, full stop. There's no exception to that. And if the Supreme Court wants to ignore that truth, which a slim majority did, Texas still had the duty, Texas leaders still had the duty to defend their people. Now, again, I hear him and I agree with it, but I want to caution on something. If Biden is going to ignore Roe v. Wade decision from the court last time and just arbitrarily impose a federal statute allowing for federal abortions to continue, that would be wrong. So that's only the issue that I would have with Chip Roy on his statement. If you do it on one case, you're opening up that Pandora's box, and where is that going to lead when it's all over with? Now, turning to the candidates still in the race for the White House, primary, whatever, quickly last week, there was a lot of attention on Elise Stefanik as a possible running mate for Donald Trump. Well, here comes former Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, the Wyoming Republican, of course being shunned by Trump and his allies, and she's calling the House GOP conference chair, Elise Stefanik of New York, quote, a total crackpot. Cheney, of course, was one of two Republicans in the January 6 inquiry, the other one being Adam Kinzinger. And she said that one day Stefanik will have to explain how and why she morphed into a total crackpot. History and our children deserve to know. Liz Cheney, I'd ask the same question of you. Stefanik, of course, replaced Cheney as a number four in the House GOP leadership after Cheney was ousted from the post because she voted in favor of impeaching Trump over his alleged role in the January 6 attack. Trump threw his support to Cheney's primary challenger in the 2022 midterm cycle. Cheney lost that election. Stefanik, once seen as a moderate in the House, is now believed to be a leading contender if Trump gets the GOP nomination, and I say he's going to. She's been on the campaign trail in recent weeks, hitting, supporting him. And, of course, she really mixed up those poison Ivy League college university presidents, didn't she? When she went after them, you cannot say genocide is wrong. You don't think that makes an unsafe area for Jewish students? She was very good about pushing that. I'm glad she did. There's another story that I want to give you some attention. And, well, before I do that, staying on politics for just a moment. You may have seen, if you are on TikTok, or maybe it shows up in some of your feeds from time to time, a pro-Biden inside of TikTok presentations. Priorities USA has online creators pushing the pro-Biden messaging and putting it on a murky online rule that gets around political ads. They're referring to, in this piece by Politico, a 42-year-old content creator, lifestyle blogger based in Philly, normally posts Instagram and TikTok videos of local restaurants, skincare tips, things of that nature. But then last fall, she started posting a message on her feeds. In one Instagram in October, she urged her 16,000 followers to register for a Pennsylvania election for state judges and district attorneys. She posted the same video on TikTok, and then she posted a reel, which might have found it on your Facebook pages, reminding people to get out and vote. Well, that's good, get people out to vote. But for those, she was paid by Priorities USA, which is a super PAC supporting Joe Biden's reelection. In fact, that PAC group is spending $1 million for its first ever creator program, enlisting this woman and 150 others to push on social media to get Biden reelected. They say it's an effort of a larger Democrat strategy to lure young voters in battleground states who polls show are increasingly critical of Biden, whether it was age, issues, or stance toward Israel. There's their issue right there. They can yell and shout all they want, but if Biden is losing supporters over his age, his stance toward Israel, and many of them are the young voters, they may or may not be influenced by TikTok. But the bottom line is, he's still going to have skin in the game. Now, we have the story, of course, about Fannie Willis and her paramour, her lover. This story about Fannie being the prosecutor in Fulton County, trying to put together the case against Trump interfering with their elections and a way, therefore, to make him a felon, keep him off the election, is upside down right now because all these allegations surfaced about her lover. I mean, this is something you would find like, and they would take cruises, probably like on the Love Boat, and it's basically another version of As the World Turns. Professor Jonathan Turley says it's not doing her any good.
The damage is already done for Willis, and in many ways, she's really magnifying that damage with her move. She filed a motion before the court that attacked the estranged wife of her alleged lover as an adulterer and a political conspirator. It was the worst possible tact that she could have taken. I mean, she could have just said, I'm not relevant. She could have said, a deposition is not needed. And instead, she did this full-on attack. And that only raises further questions. I mean, you have the original decision that she made, which in my view was deeply unethical, in hiring someone that she had an alleged intimate relationship with. But she compounded that afterwards in her response. It's clear that Mr. Wade and Willis herself are undermining the case for her office. And so she's putting their interests ahead of the office. That's the very thing that conflict of interest rules are meant to avoid.
Absolutely. Conflict of office. And as Jonathan Turley, George Washington law professor, said, she's put herself ahead of the case and involved herself in it now. And rather than just saying, I don't want to give a deposition in my paramour's relationship with his ex-wife, or as they're trying to get divorced, it's not relevant. She's just trying to fight back, calling her basically a enemy political plant to basically being a cheater on her husband. See, hey, that gets really dicey right there. But Fannie Willis is not about anyone but Fannie Willis. Oh, I know some of you are saying, it's funny. Okay, I can also say funny, Willis, if you want. She is in it deep, and it's getting deeper, and she does not know how to swim in these waters. But she thinks if I make enough noise, everybody will look away, and I'll get away with a lot of stuff. That's apparently what she's thinking. All right, to another subject. The NXXT Women's Pro Tour. It is meant to champion the talents of women golfers. as they say on their own page, and to inspire a new generation of athletes with increased exposure and equitable opportunities. In other words, they believe the women's pro tour has not been getting enough money for those women as the men's does. Well, that's because they don't have the following, the base. They don't have the viewership, the big package monies that come with pro men's sports. But if here they are going to champion the talents of women golfers, they've already hit a speed bump. Last week, in the NXXT Women's Classic, it was won by Haley Davidson. Maybe you didn't pay a lot of attention. I could understand. And I'm not knocking women's golfers. I know many, and many are very good. My game never was going to reach their level. But Haley Davidson is a transgender and admits in an interview on Good Morning Britain, she was asked about studies that say, quote, it's an undisputed fact men are physically stronger than women, and therefore suggesting that Davidson won because she really is a man. Davidson apparently began hormone therapy treatments in 2015. Underwent gender reassignment surgery in 2021, and said she would agree 5 years ago, but now acknowledges that clearly would have been unfair. She said, my whole philosophy behind all this, I don't believe trans people should be banned from sports, but I do believe there need to be guidelines in effect. Going back even 4 years ago, or even before I had surgery, I definitely had an advantage. I would 100% agree with that. But the difference is now that years have gone on, 3 years after surgery, my physical capabilities are compared to back then or night and day. So again, honestly, I 100% agree men do have advantages. But you say you get a trans person on hormones for a year or no surgery or nothing. Of course, that's the part, yeah, they're going to have an advantage. She's also disagreeing with some saying you're going to destroy the game of golf. NXXT Golf CEO Scott McKinnon, who leads the tour where she has found success, defended their organization's inclusion policies. Acknowledges fair for the viewers to decide whether Davidson should compete against biological females, suggesting the league will poll its players on transgender inclusion policies, and maybe even ask Davidson to, quote, undergo additional testosterone training to ensure compliance with the appropriate guidelines. But we're also committed to upholding the highest standards of the sport. No, you're not. The sport of golf, okay, but you're not upholding women's golf that high, are you? Now, in reaction to the transgender winning, there was a report that came out attributed to John Daly, pro-men golfer, pro-male, obviously. He said, here's his quote, supposedly. I would have won 100 tournaments if I threw on a skirt and called myself a tranny. That dude, Thomas Haley, is as feminine as a Ford F-150. A pretty good statement. But John Daly didn't make the statement. It appeared on his Twitter account, but apparently he had nothing to do with it getting on there. But it quickly circulated. I was out with a friend last night. He said, did you hear what John Daly say about transgender golf? And I said, I saw it yesterday, but I had too many things going on. And he repeated virtually what I just said. Oh, I'd want every tournament I played on if I just put on a skirt. John Daly did not say it, but many now want to say he's transphobic. Name calling. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? Remember our pledge. One nation under God.